Thank you very much, Ali. And it's terrific to see everyone who's here this morning. Great to be back with you. I'm speaking fast because I'm conscious I'm going to be up against the time if you want a cup of coffee before your church meeting and want to get back for tea time. I've met a lot of you before and great to see you again. Before I say anything else, I just feel as though I need to sort of big round of applause to you because this is great, isn't it, the building? Last time I came, it was like a week or two before you were getting the keys sort of thing. And I hoped you'd have the keys that day, but they weren't here. So first time I've been inside. So really massive well done. Terrific job. Feels like it's been ages coming. And I'm sure if it feels like that for me, it's going to feel like eternity for some of you, isn't it? But I know some of you put a huge amount of prayer and planning and giving and energy into this, so that's terrifically well done. I suppose the thing is, if our job is to build the church and to fill it with people, it's job done, isn't it? But we know it's not our job to build the church. Jesus says, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So I think the big challenge is, in a sense, is the hard work's only really just begun. One of the things I'll be nagging your soon-to-be new pastor about, Steve, when I see him, will be, I'll let him move first, you know, somehow or another, you've got to begin to start paying attention to, Lord, how are we going to see more people come to know Jesus than can fit in this building on a Sunday morning? And see this as a launch into the mission of God, and not a container for it. And there is a world of difference. I don't need to tell you that. But before we go any further, I just need to mention one or two things. I've got some coffee cups here, and I've got a box full of these recyclable coffee cups, coffee cups at the back. And this is part of our 72 coffee cup challenge. Did you know that we put over 3 billion disposable coffee cups into landfill every year? And that's not great for the planet or the environment. And so this is a visual reminder. You can have one of these in exchange for your email address. And you will get a 72 update on only once a month on update basis. We want to connect with far more people than we typically do by email. Typically, we get the ministers, we get the secretaries, we get the treasurers. But we want far more people connected who are growing in their passion to follow Jesus and to see other people come to know him. So that's what 72 is all about. So you can have one of these if you give me your email address. I know I need a piece of paper and a pen at the back there at the time. But also, if you do take one of these, you won't be just helping saving the planet. You can save yourself 25p a throw. Costa and Starbucks will definitely give you 25p off. If you take one in and say, I've got my own cup, they'll knock 25p a cup off. And I try and ask any independents, if you're like me, you spend half your life drinking coffee in coffee shops. And so that's one of the delights of being a regional minister, I suppose. It's the best place to meet people. But the other thing we really want you to do, if you take one of those, if you do want to buy one, they're only £2 a time, but I'd like you to think about giving to Home Mission through our Partnership for Mission initiative, that you've all got one of these on, but you can have one for £2 a time. But just consider whether you might send or where you might send the money you save. But the real thing we want you to think and pray about is who, and this is where it becomes relevant to what I want to share with you from the Bible this morning, is who will I think about spending some time with this week? And in a sense, having a cup of coffee with someone is a bit of a euphemism, really, isn't it, for spending a bit of time with someone. Either you invite them out or they invite you out or whatever. Just a bit of time. Pray about who that might be. How might I go about, think about sharing something of Jesus with that person? And that might be just by giving them the opportunity to offload so that you become the listener less than 25% of you said you weren't very good at this morning. So it's a great chance to practice listening. Or it might be that in the conversation you have opportunity to share something about the reality of your faith or they might be sharing something about how they're struggling with things. And a good question just to pop is tell me, do you have a faith that's able to help you in this particular difficulty, whatever it might be, illness or tragedy or whatever? So there's three good things that you can save there in terms of the planet, some money, and hopefully somebody else as well, by helping them into the kingdom of God. Now, moving swiftly on, because I've got a few things on there. Let's get on that. What's the next slide? Hello, Andy. Oh, sorry. How awful. That's great. That's a song. It was a good song. I've obviously pressed the wrong thing. Oh, okay. It's all right. As long as it's not my fault, that's fine. Okay. If you can find the clip, Andy or Mark or whoever I'm talking to. Just go for that when you do. Okay, why are you finding? Why don't we read the Bible together? Actually, that's why we're here, isn't it? No, that's nothing to do with it. Right, so Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to read. What I'd like you to do is just pray with me before we do this. As I read this, do the words appear on screen or not? The words don't appear. No, okay. So just listen to the words, or read it in your own Bible as we go through. I'm going to start at verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan. It's one that those who've been Christians more than 3 weeks will know. It's one of the few parables that anyone who's not a Christian might have heard of. But before we read it together, I want you just to pray, Lord, will you grab my attention with something in particular from these words, so that when we get to the end, you'll be able to identify a word, a phrase, a whole line, a whole sentence, whatever it might be. And just all I'm asking you to do is, if you're the sort of person who highlights things or underlines things or writes them down, what are the words of this parable that grab your attention the most, the ones that you would highlight, underline, or write down when we get to them? So are you going to have a go at that? I'm not going to ask you what it is, so you can relax now. I'm not going to ask you to tell anybody else what it is, but I do want you in your heart just to say, that's interesting. It would have been that for me, because God will hear that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we ask that as we listen to your words this morning, you would highlight something in particular that would be of blessing or of encouragement or challenge to each and every one of us. Lord, to that end, please direct our attention to something in particular, we pray, that we might seek to listen more carefully to what you might be saying to us and what you might be speaking creatively into our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go then, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But the expert in the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Let me just allow something just to settle in our heart or mind from that particular passage. Amen. Wonder what it is. I wonder where from that story God might be speaking to you simply by highlighting something that you now, I suggest, begin to ask, Lord, what on earth could that mean for me in my life? And it might be something you need to do by way of response. It might be a challenge that you need to take on board so that it might begin to change slightly by 1 degree, something in your own heart attitude or in your own mind or heart. Or it might be pointing out someone that you're aware of already where you just need to cross that bridge, or in the words of the parable, cross the road just to make connection and begin to engage with them. So that's the challenge, really. If you want to move on, I'm not listening, am I? That's really doing it bad. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to miss that clip out because you've got it now. You can show it at church meeting sometime. Trouble is, I can't miss it out because it won't go beyond it.
Okay. Every year we give to Home Mission, and I don't even know where it goes.
Home Mission is partnership for mission. Great partnerships make a big difference.
Giving at least 5% of your church's general income creates partnership in the gospel in 3 ways.
Firstly, regional partnerships such as support from regional ministers.
Mission grants, which could be for planting new expressions of church or enabling churches to reimagine themselves.
Thirdly, specialist support such as free DBS checks and counselling provision for ministers.
All of which helps us grow healthy churches together.
I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
Thank you for giving to Home Mission.
Yes, thank you for giving to Home Mission. I didn't think we got time for that, but I couldn't get past it. There we go. And it is a reminder that we are, again, in that way, all involved. Okay. Right. So we got to the end of the passage anyway. Yeah, so earlier on in the little thing Ali did, I just looked round and I guessed it was just about under a quarter of you said you were good at listening. Okay? What I want to suggest is that you need to improve on that, although most of us don't think we're good at listening, even if we might not be half bad. But because basically listening is what we do when we gather like this every Sunday morning, isn't it? And invariably, if listening is where we start when it comes to the Word of God, and less than a quarter of us say we're any good at it at all, we're not going to get very far around this cycle, are we? So we need to home in on that. And one of the practices I encourage people to do everywhere and anywhere is actually starting by, when they listen to the Word of God, begin by trying to identify which bit in it grabs your attention the most. Because it might all be speaking to us all the time. I'm sure God is speaking to me far more than I am aware, day by day and week by week. But which bit is in it, so that we might not lose the particular thing for us in the general mass of words? And as you've already identified something, I want you to begin to look, as we go through these next few minutes, really, and begin to look with the eyes of faith, asking the Lord, where do you want me to take this little one seed of your word? Is it something I need to plant in my own heart, or allow you to plant in my own heart? Because there's an attitude there that needs to change, or there's something that needs to grow. It might be aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, like compassion or kindness. Or is this something for somebody else? Is there something in what you're saying to me this morning that means that as I look at this Advent series and this great opportunity for Christmas and carols by candlelight and the crib service and all the rest of it, I know that between now and then I need to arrange to take Esther or John out for a cup of coffee and just create the opportunity to say, would you like to come along with me one particular Sunday or whatever it might be? Just getting the point, that it's all very well, we hear God speaking to us, and some of us very often think, there's something from the Lord for that for me. But by the time we get home, had our meat and three veg, we've forgotten all about it, or we've thought of five reasons why it was for somebody else rather than ourselves. But even looking to see how we might apply God's word in our life or give it and offer it to someone else isn't really doing anything, is it? Because we need to do something about it. That's the third L, the living. The living is trying it out. It's experimenting. It's seeing what happens when we actually do something with God's word. And you'll notice this parable, this conversation Jesus is having with the expert in the law. And Jesus asks him what's written in the law. And elsewhere, Jesus uses these exact same words. And he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. And he's talking about the summary of, in a sense, the Old Testament law, yes, but the summary of the Old Testament scriptures. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what does Jesus say to the expert at the law at that point? He's got it right. He's got the answer 100% right. It's the most succinct summary of what the law and the commandments, the word of God, is all about that you'll ever find anywhere. That's what Jesus says. But what does Jesus say? He says, you've got the right answer, but he says, go and do likewise. Yeah? And that's what the living is all about. Interestingly, Jesus tells this story, this parable, that I think is actually a story of an actual incident that he was aware of. But he gets to the end of it, doesn't he? Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the Everton supporter. No, he doesn't say that, but he certainly won't bring himself to say the Liverpool supporter. He certainly won't bring himself to say the Samaritan, because they just did not like one another. That's the understatement of this morning. They hated one another. So he won't even mention the tribe to which he belonged. So he says the one who had mercy on him. And what does Jesus say to him then? He says it again. He repeats himself. The greatest excuse, Jesus, for any preacher. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and do exactly as the one who you're not prepared to name does. Live it out. So if you've got something this morning, if you've identified a word, a verse, or a few words from that parable, you've only just begun. This is what we call the discipleship cycle. You've only just begun. But wouldn't it be great if next week, whether you speak to someone else or just between you and God, you get to the point you're saying, well, what have I learnt about God and the mission of God this week through my life? Because we know that word disciple means learner. We know that according to the Bible, we only really know anything, not when we know it up here in our minds, but when it is part of us, when we embody what we claim to know. When other people can actually see the Word of God coming alive through us. So that's what that's all about it. But the real question I just want to ask this morning is, who are you when you leave the room? I see you've been doing this series on mission this month, and it's what has whatever got to do with mission. And I just thought, when I read through those, I thought, and I'm not saying this happened because I'm sure everyone who's spoken to you has involved all of you in everything, but I just thought, I've got to say the obvious. At the risk of driving up the M5 and back, just to say the obvious, I've got to say the obvious. It's that slogan, isn't it, that a famous telephone company use, EE, but with an extra E. Everyone, everywhere, every day. It is us. This mission is not going to happen. These people who need to come to know Jesus in that wonder, that was great, that City of Gloucester put along to a song thing. That was terrific, wasn't it? But where are those people who need to know Jesus going to connect with him, who need to be more than the people who can fill this room, going, where are they going to come from? They're going to come through the relationships that you create, that you cultivate, the real friendships that you already have and the new ones that you're going to make. Isn't it? It's the lady who prayed earlier. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Open the eyes and the ears of the people we will meet. Prepare their hearts. That's what you prayed. Sorry, I had my eyes open to make sure I knew who it was. But that needs to be not one lady's prayer this morning. That needs to be all of our prayers. Give them the ears and the eyes to see and to hear, but give us the eyes and the ears to see who God is speaking to and who God wishes to demonstrate acts of loving kindness to. Oh, Lord, how do you do that? So what do we leave behind us? Who do we leave behind us when we leave the room? We know that if we had the right equipment, we could get people in after we leave the room this morning, and they would be able to identify that each one of us, the unique human beings that we are, have been in this building. I'm not suggesting it's a scene of crime or going to become a scene of crime this morning, but we know that most major crimes now involve the production of DNA in the production of the evidence in a court of law, don't we? There's a copy of our entire DNA sequence in every cell of our body with the exception of red blood cells. You better check that out with Ian afterwards. But there's a few other very fascinating facts about DNA that kind of blow my mind on there. But we know that physically, it might be a hair, it might be a bit of dandruff, it might be the sweat of our hands white on these lovely seats. But we know that we leave traces of who we really are everywhere we go physically. What did the Good Samaritan leave behind, and what do we leave behind? I think the clue as to what we need to leave behind is in what Jesus draws out the expert of the law when he says, what's the summary of the kind of life that God's looking for, the kind of life that the Bible teaches, that the kind of life that the Bible draws us towards, the kind of life that I came that I might give my spirit that you might be able to fulfill and live life in all its fullness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. I just use the D of that DNA, discipleship, to describe that. Because that is a life of discipleship, isn't it? That is a life of worship. It is me, it's you, offering all we are, heart, soul, strength, and mind, to God and his glory. To live for him, to live for his glory, to serve him, to love him, to follow him, day by day, wherever, with whoever. And love your neighbor. Engagement. No. Engagement. It's a bit corny, I know, but I've got to fit it in somehow, haven't we? That's how it gets transmitted, isn't it? It's not actually through someone like me at the front of a church building. It is actually where we're spread, who we're spread with and among during the week. And then that awful, not awful, but that awkward, annoying little phrase that's just slipped in at the end. Love the Lord your God with everything and love your neighbour as yourself. And some of you can picture that double helix of a DNA sort of blown up, multiplied, magnified hundreds of times. And I tend to think of, you know, there's our life going loving God and there's our life seeking to love other people. I tend to think of the authenticity as the thing that connects the two. Because I can say what I want about Jesus to my friend or my neighbour, literal or wherever I meet them. But if they don't see something of the authenticity of God in my life, and I haven't got integrity, when they don't listen to those words, do they? They don't. So the Good Samaritan's DNA, just to finish up with. What was the Good Samaritan's DNA that we pick up in this particular parable? And how does that challenge my life? So that when I go out the room, people are not thinking, I'm glad he's gone, he was doing my head in. They're more likely to sense that void. That when we're not there, when we're not in the group, there's a sense of, we miss her. Because she always stood up for the underdog. She always gave me my voice. Or he was always brave enough to say what we only dared think. Or there's an absence suddenly because we're out of the equation of the things that we talk about and the Bible identifies as the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Love and joy and peace, kindness, gentleness. Are those the things that leave the group when we're not a part of it? Because that's the DNA of Jesus. And they need to hear and they need to see. What we do is closely related to whether anyone sees anything or not. all that's trying to say is you might be the greatest Christian in the world, in your opinion. You might be on fire for God in your heart. You might be absolutely focused on the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life. In your heart. But if nobody else is on the receiving end of your actions of love and kindness and generosity and compassion, if nobody else is able to just hear the words of wisdom that in a nutshell just kind of makes sense of why they're struggling so much, or how there might be a way out, or the fact that they can just identify and come to know the reality of the one true living God in the midst of their tragedy and pain, or whatever it might be more positively. If they don't hear or they don't see what you want to be in your heart, they don't hear or see it. I put down there a follower of Jesus in ordinary shoes who did something in three verses. Imagine that. You've got three verses. The Lord says you can have three verses in the Bible to talk about your life. What would you put in it? We don't even know this guy's name. That's a challenge. I've had to come to the point where I've said, Lord, I don't care if anybody else knows my name. But what I do want them to know is who you are because of me. Three verses, 33, 35. So much. The Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine. He put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn. He took care of him. The next day, he said, I'll give you whatever else you spend. I've gone backwards. You might, when you said that at the beginning, Ali, who's good at this, that and the other, you should have said, who's any good at following simple forward or backward instruction on one of these things? Second, the Good Samaritan's end, his engagement. How we engage with anyone determines how they hear whatever we say. I'm not saying words are unimportant. I'm not saying the things we do are unimportant. I'm saying they belong together. So it's kind of engagement, isn't it? We know, you know, you've heard sermons on this before. It's the religious people who pass by on the other side and all the rest of it. Well, that's them. What about us? Engagement that leaves a positive difference. The Good Samaritan saw this man, whatever the cost. It could have been great to himself. He could have been robbed. He could have done. But what does he leave behind him? And it's this question, which side of the road do you want to be on? What did the Good Samaritan leave behind as a result of his engagement? Practical help, yes. Money, yes. Care, yes. Sense of concern, yes. As Amy Grant sang many moons ago now, love of another kind. All those things. Just to one man, one insignificant man he had not met before. He didn't know who he was. He would probably never meet again. But you can imagine, this story became famous. This story, this unknown man, has been famous for 2,000 years. He took him in on his back of his donkey into the Burney Inn, and two for one, and they're all eating that. And there's this guy, small village community. I've just moved into a village last year. You can bet your bottom dollar that everyone in that community knew exactly what happened in that inn within hours. And so it spread. And just to finish up with this whole thing about authenticity. Who I am shouts much louder than what I say. What are people going to discover when they sort of scratch our surface this week? Are they going to discover something that's deeper than a religious veneer? Are they going to discover an authenticity that runs counter to the prevailing culture around? Because it seems to me no one has time for anyone, more or less, as a generalization these days. But if you have time for them, if you give them space, if you provide a listening ear, if you're the one who's speaking up for Jesus Christ in the midst of a society that sees increasingly keen to remove his voice and remove his name, then they will connect with someone who is seeking authentically to follow Jesus, to honor him, to love him, to serve him, and bring him, the one true living God, into their life. Let's close with a prayer, and then Ali will finish us off with a song or two. Lord, we thank you for your greatness and your goodness. We thank you that whilst you have done everything for us to enable us to come to know you through your death upon the cross and through your wonderful resurrection, you are choosing to convey this magnificent, great and wonderful news through very ordinary people like me and everyone who's with me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this overwhelming privilege, but we pray that we would grasp the small responsibilities that you put our way, however they might come and whoever they might come through, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.